So we begin Psalm 70. Psalm 70, for some of you, we've already done. It's identical, apart from a couple of words that I'll point out to you, with Psalm 40. Psalm 40, verse 13 to 17, is Psalm 70. That only happens about twice throughout the book of Psalms. So obviously someone has liked it or chosen to put it in again. Which came first, I don't know. It's a plea for God's help, and as I said, it's a duplicate. It begins verse 1. The blue is the indication of the psalm, the black is my commentary. O God, please free me. Yahweh, make haste to help me. If you look up Psalm 40, verse 13, you'll see Yahweh, please free me. Yahweh, make haste to help me. So there's that slight variation. Make haste to help me. The word help is the simplest translation I can give you of the word that keeps occurring all through the Psalms. It's translated save or salvation. Jesus' name, Yeshua or Joshua, is the same word. Means the J is always the same as the Y in English. So it means Yahweh, Shua, save. God is my salvation, or Yahweh, save me, is the name Joshua, Jesus' name. Jesus is actually the Greek form of the Aramaic or Hebrew name Joshua or Yeshua. So here we have, O God, please free me. Yahweh, make haste to save me. I use the word help because it's actually simpler. The word save is a very, how big you make, depending on you make it or how small you make it. But the essence of the verb which we translate save is not save me from, but help me in. So when you ask for God to save you, you're not asking God to change the world so that you'll be in a different place. You're asking for grace to come to give you or me the courage, the love, the faith, to keep going in a circumstance which is very oppressive or negative or harmful to you, like the crucifixion of Jesus. But the saving is God being with me, with you, present, gracing, sustaining, loving, forgiving, healing. You got it? So help is actually a very simple word, and you may not like it, you may not think it adequate, but I think it actually picks up the accurate meaning of salvation, saving. Verse 2. Let all those who seek my life be put to shame and confusion. Let those who desire to harm me be repulsed and disgraced. Let those who say to me, ha, ha, they're mocking him, laughing at him, be appalled because of their shame. If you were to compare this to Psalm 40, you would notice a different verb in the Hebrew, which is better translated, turned back. So there's, I'm doing that only to indicate the very slight variation that's there.
Here
we've just got the same, it's a very simple psalm, the same mood in other psalms, and I'll just read them to you for reflection. It's a mood that you frequently find in the psalms. Psalm 35, verse 25 reads, don't let them say we've swallowed you up. Let all those who rejoice at my calamity be put to shame and confusion. Let those who exalt themselves against me be clothed with shame and dishonor. Psalm 25, verse 2. O my God, in you I trust. Don't let me be put to shame. Don't let my enemies exult over me. Don't let those who wait for you be put to shame. Let them be ashamed who are wantonly treacherous. You would have read, as I have today, certain cultures, they call them a shame culture, existing today. And I think it goes with a culture where people are very interconnected, with the richness that goes with that, you know, where people don't stand out. People belong to the group, and if one acts, well, then everyone pretty well has to act. And there's a lot of pressure on people to live according to their place in the society or the customs that are around them. When I say our culture, what do I mean? Basically, Western culture, sadly, has lost a lot of those connections, and that's a negative part of it. But individual personality is highly esteemed, and it's probably a maturity too, as I see it. And in our culture, it's not a shame culture so much. People are just as likely to say, well, I couldn't care less what they think, and go ahead and do what they want, for good or ill. That has a positive aspect to it, of the development of the uniqueness of each person, but the negatives are really obvious too. It means we've got loneliness, and we've got suicide, and we've got despair, and we've got people who don't belong, and all that stuff that goes with the negative side of it. And I'm not here to give a psychology class because I don't know much about it, but you're probably following me, are you? Their culture was clearly, and you can see the logic, shame is a big thing when the community point to you and you're alone and you stand out in some way and you're not capable of standing out. So you suffer shame before people's opinions around you. You have to belong to exist almost. So it's all the way through here, Psalm 38. Those who seek my life lay their snares. Those who seek to hurt me speak of ruin and meditate treachery all day long. And Psalm 54, he will repay my enemies for their evil. In your faithfulness, put an end to them. So the psalmist is in dreadful situation, and he's asking that the people who are perpetrating it against him will be shown to be such and suffer the shame of that. Verse 4, may all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. May those who love your saving presence, I could have said your helping presence, say continually, great is God, Elohim, see, God. Whereas, verse 40, has great is Yahweh. So my hunch, and it's only a hunch, is that this psalm, as most of the psalms in Book 2, come from the northern kingdom, from Dan or Bethel, all those Shechem, all those sanctuaries that were in the north. That's my suspicion or hunch. And when it was brought down into the temple, there's a tendency more to use the word Yahweh. So perhaps verse 40 is the accommodation of this psalm to the temple worship. So note the contrast. Here the psalmist speaks of those who seek God, not those who seek his life. That's what he's been talking about. Those who are seeking my life. Now he's talking about those who seek God. Those who desire the psalmist's salvation, not, as in earlier verses, those who desire his harm. Those who proclaim, great is God, not ha-ha, you know. And maybe would this remind you of the Passion as well? The drama of the Passion, no doubt based on reality, the high priests and those around are saying, ha-ha, he said he's the Son of God, you know, mocking Jesus. And the final verse, you are my help and my deliverer, Yahweh, do not delay. And unexpectedly, Psalm 40, instead of Yahweh, has, oh my God. So, we're not sure where we are in all that.